welcome back to Finding My Perfect Awkward. This week, I am like losing my words already. I have Matt Misler, aka Miz, with me this week. How's it going, Fran?
It's going well, friend. How are you?
I am fantastic, minus the technical difficulties I have had. But I have to tell you that this is the first week ever that I have done an episode from an actual, like, radio studio. So I feel kind of, like, good right now.
You know, it's funny that when we were trying to set this up, that we were originally going to do this in the early part of the week, and it happened to be on one of the days that I wouldn't be able to do your podcast because I was in the middle of doing one of my 5,000 different jobs that I have. But then today I was going to do it from our studio over, a county over at my job. Be like, if we had the video aspect of things, be like, take a look at what my studio looks like. It's a trash bin right now.
We could compare and contrast our studios.
It's like, this is my studio. Entry, please.
No, but it's so cool. And it's awesome that, like, we connect on a friend level because, you know, we just, you know, we're both silly and we both love free for all and we both know a few of the same people. But we also have a love for radio. And I think that's awesome, which is, like, something I wanted to talk to you about. Like, how did you get your love of radio? How did you, like, turn on the mic and fall in love with it? Or did it start with street teaming? Or, like, where did you start with?
Oh, man. So we've got to go way back. This is I'm showing my age and probably showing your age as well, too. We got to go back to when I was in high school, middle school, elementary school for my love of music. I was in the band. I was a huge band geek all the way into high school. And one of the things I wanted to do, like in my mind, I wanted to be a music teacher. You know, that was kind of one of the things I wanted to do. Until I realized how much teachers kind of make. So it kind of defeated that whole thing. So I went with the next best thing, which was talking about music. And I think the love of radio actually started with listening to, like, you know, listening to different play-by-play calls of different sporting events. Like, I grew up a Tigers fan, so I'd listen to old play-by-play calls of the late, great Ernie Harwell, who was, you know, whenever he made a call, Kira, it was one of these things. And there goes a foul ball, and it's in the hands of the guy from Traverse City, Michigan. As a kid, you're like, oh, he knows him? How does he know him?
Aww.
Like, I don't know everything. Like, that's amazing. How does he know him? Obviously, eventually in time, you realize he doesn't know him. Like, oh, well,
he just knows thanks his for bringing name. Down the... He knows where
yeah. He's at. So he thanks for breaking down the fourth wall. I appreciate that. But it kind of started from there. And then as time went on, there were times where I'd sit at my desk while doing schoolwork or whenever it may be in college and, you know, just listen to the local radio station and just hear what everyone's doing. I'm like, I could see myself doing this one day. And eventually I took the leap. I took the leap. There's a school here in Michigan, just outside Detroit, that specializes as a tech school for broadcast communication arts. So everything from, you know, the radio aspect to TV, they advanced into more digital after I had left the school. But radio was always kind of the thing. It was always fun to do, you know. And eventually, after completing the whole thing and looking north, south, east, and west, everywhere in the United States, hell, even looking out to sea, there was, like, some like, cruise line stuff that were looking for, like, DJs and stuff and things like that. I'm like, I can see myself being out at sea. I don't have motion sickness. That's perfectly fine.
You're one of the lucky ones, let me tell you.
Yeah, so it never really panned out The first gig that I actually got before where I'm at right now, I was doing overnights for a radio station. It's like, yeah, you know, something just to get my feet wet, just to get the chops going and try and craft a live while I wait and see if there's something, you know, legit out there. Eventually in 2013, one of my friends had found a job opening for radio station I'm currently at right now. And said, well, why don't you just throw it out there? Just give it a try. I'm like, okay. And I got hired to be a promotions assistant, or as you would say, as you mentioned, a street team member. And that's kind of how I got my start. And then 2 weeks after that, end up becoming a fill-in board operator for different sporting events that were going on.
That's awesome. And I feel like a lot of people are starting to get the grasp of that, is that you can, like, to get your feet wet and to get into it, all you have to do is become a board op, or like become even like a street teamer.
Exactly. I mean, that's, when I was in school, one of the big things I wanted to do was to intern, but there wasn't enough hours in the day where I could work an almost full-time job and then go to school at the same time and then also intern at night. It just never really fell in the cards for me for that. But being a promotions assistant, you get a grasp of, you know, everything that happens behind the scenes. You get to, you know, work with the talent, kind of pick their brain, and especially in a small market, and like for me in Ann Arbor, it's, you know, you can really pick the brain and kind of see, you know, what could you do to kind of maybe get your foot in the door of the studio.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Well, so, I mean, it took a while, but eventually I got there. It took months later, but you got there.
Well, yeah, and it takes time, and you got to learn everything. You got to start somewhere and work your way up, you know. But you, like you said, you get to know everybody. You get to network. You get to learn everything. And as a street teamer, like, I was a street teamer, but I was everywhere. I was in promotions doing other things besides, you know, the events. I was helping with setting up the promotions and prizes. I was in the fill-in receptionist. So when the receptionist went on lunch, I would cover her, so I knew the receptionist side of things. You know, I was a board op. Like you said, it took a few months, but you got to another, you know, another step. And there's so much to learn in radio. There's so many different aspects. I don't know if everybody, mm-hmm. like outside of radio realizes that it's more than just a board and headphones and a mic. It's more than just promotions, sales, and programming. There's so much to it. There's production. There's, of course, the listeners. But then there's a whole business side to it. There's a whole administration side to it. There's, like, then you get into traffic, which is its own monster. Like, there's so much to learn and to get your feet wet in. And even behind a board, when you say you're a board op, there's so much to that. There's so much to mm-hmm. promotions assistant to learn, and so many aspects to that. Like, there's just so much to it, and to learn everything, to pick up on it quick, and to network with everybody and get to know everybody and to let everybody know how hungry you are for it. I mean, it gets you so far.
You're right. I mean, like I said, just starting out as a promotions assistant, street team member, you know, and the thing about it is it's different in every station around the country, every market around the country. Everything's a little bit different. You know, I'm in a market where it's considered a small market, but one of the big caveats of our station house is that one of them is our motto for our sports station is the official voice of University of Michigan sports. So you take the small market aspect, but one of the biggest public universities in the country, and everything just kind of changes up. Everything's different. So there's, you know, there's part of it where you've got people that, you know, will listen to our sports station that could be listening not just from inside the city, but we've had people that are listening. Hell, we had someone call up from Spain. We had someone call up from China one of these times, you know, some years ago. And it was like, Nah, you're not calling from there. Like, yeah, no, I'm sitting in the basketball arena watching the team play. And I'm like, dude, this is crazy. No, that ain't real. Eventually getting pictures sent over, like, oh my God, he's really in Spain right now. Holy hell. But then, like I said, every station is different. Like our country station, as far as their form, as far as like how their, you know, how their shows are run, are completely different from our AAA station down the hallway. So everything is kind of different how all the, you know, program directors kind of run things. But it's regardless though, it's, you know, always learning on the fly and trying to see what comes about is always kind of the fun thing for me. I like that.
For sure. And that's awesome. And I, you know, something we have in common now is sports. Not a lot of people know this, but I got into sports recently as far as the radio aspect goes.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I love it. I did not think that I would love the sports side so much simply because I'm just, you know, I wasn't always a huge sports person. I'm not huge on it. I still need to, you know, learn a lot of stuff about it. But
right,
I'm getting there, and I love it. Like, just, there's a lot of content to be had. And it's fast-paced, and there's so much to it. And I absolutely adore it. And I didn't think I would. I got a taste of the music side. I'm like, yeah, like, you know, if you think radio, you think the music side, you know, you think FM radio or FM music. But then there's this whole other side, whole other world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so kind of breaking down a little bit of the fourth wall here. When I got hired, when my first air shift was actually on our country station, I knew nothing about country music when I got hired in, you know, like,
yeah,
I was probably the stereotypical, you know, rock guy that, you know, assumed that all country music was about pickup trucks, dogs dying and my lady leaving me, you know, and drinking beer. Gotta add drinking beer into the mix as well, too. So I'm trying to find my way into that whole aspect. And I'm like, I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. Like, I've never heard of this artist before. I've never listened to this song before. But eventually over time, I'm like, okay, you know what? This is kind of catchy. This is a jam. Okay. I can see myself listening to this on a regular basis. And then, like I said, because I've been a classic rock, grew up, you know, parents listen to oldies and classic rock on a regular basis. So, you know, when you've brought up on Free For All or even on your Twitch stream, you know, Finding My Perfect Awkward, by the way, y'all should follow it.
Thank you for
shameless
the plug
there. Absolutely. That's what friends do there. But, you know, when you've brought up how you've got like an old soul where you bring up all these artists, I'm like, yeah, that's the same stuff that I've listened to growing up, and I still do at the same token as well too.
Oh my gosh, you do?
Yeah, like, oh, I grew up on the Beatles, Rolling Stones, The Who, The Guess Who, you know, obviously Elvis, you know, the Monkees. I mean, the list goes on and on. And even when I was in band in school, I was in the jazz band. So trust me, everything from not just Louis Armstrong, but like, John Coltrane and Duke Ellington, just the variety of music that I've listened to and that I enjoy is so wide and out of proportion that people are like, how the hell do you like this, but also like this? Like, it's just something I grew up on.
Well, and you can also love a variety of stuff. Like, you can't, like, it's not like you can't love rock and also love, like, deep country. Like, you can love whatever, especially if you grow up on it.
But when the playlist goes from the Beatles to Metallica, then to Duke Ellington, and then to Skrillex, it's like, there's something wrong with this guy right here. He's all over the board.
Oh, no, no, no. It's just called variety. It's fine. It's totally fine. Honestly, my playlist.
I've got my own. It's my own format. We don't know what we're calling it, but it's a format nonetheless.
Yeah, it's you know, it's what they call a non-formatted radio internet or internet radio station. It's fine.
108.1 weird music station.
You know what I thought of? My name could be call letters.
That's true. See, it's true. It works for you because you use your name and it fits perfectly. I can't do that with mine.
You only have three, though. You could add a K or a W.
That's true. I could be WMIZ
exactly.
Or KMIZ.
Yeah, exactly. And then you'd be like, Mrs. Station.
It's like, you tune in where we got the widest variety of music coming up. Duke Ellington ready to melt your face off with big band music.
I would listen to it. I don't know anyone else, but I would listen to it. But I didn't
crank it up to 11.
I didn't know that you were into all that stuff. So, you know, Frankie Valli, Rick Springfield, Neil Sedaka. Oh my gosh. So, I just saw, well, first of all, so Frankie Valli is coming back in January because he was sick in October. Right. So he's coming back in January and I'm so stoked. But also I don't use the word stoked. I don't know why I just said that.
it's lit.
It's so lit in here. Oh my gosh. Okay. So side note, I do this a lot, but side note. So I have an intern. I have four interns every week.
Oh
right?
My.
One each day. And then they alternate on Friday. So I have one though that comes in and teaches me a word a week because like I say, like we just discussed, I'm 90.
Right.
So she was telling me all of these things and she was talking to me and saying all these words. And I was like, I have no idea what you just said to me. Can you please translate for me? Because I don't know what you just said.
Can you please use the word lit in a sentence and try to slow it down for me so I know what I'm talking about, please? Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly how it was, tone and all. So I was like, what? She said, and I'm sorry, I still don't understand what this means, so I apologize in advance. But this, she said, gaslight gatekeep girl boss. And I have no idea what that is. that was the phrase a few weeks ago. This week's it was sheesh, which I don't know what that is at all. Like still don't understand what that is.
So the sheesh thing that's taken me that after a while, I think I figured out what it means exactly, because the sheesh thing, it seems like they pair it up with an arm motion as well too. Okay. And this kind of goes to the whole sports aspect here.
Oh yeah.
So when they, because typically what they'll do is they'll hold their arm out and with their other hand just essentially kind of point at their elbow or somewhere on the arm itself. And that whole aspect goes back to basketball stuff where they would say, oh, he's got ice in the veins because he's shooting. He's, you know, having a hell of a day. He cannot miss.
Okay.
Can't miss the shots.
But then she's telling me that only like fifth and sixth graders really use it. So I'm like, how do fifth and sixth graders only use it? And like,
so does that make me a fifth or sixth grader then? Because I kind of use it almost on a regular now.
Surprise, Miss! You got what is that called? Not demoted. That's a job. But in school, when you get held back, you got held back a few years.
Yay! Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That means my high school diploma means nothing, and the beard that I had beforehand is illegal now. Son of a gun!
Do you have a beard now? Is it growing back?
So it's still kind of in that weird, like, fuzz phase right now. Like, you can see the hair coming in, and right now it's more prominent in a goatee because for the longest time, that's all I've had was a goatee. So, like, the goatee aspect is very prominent, but, like, on the cheeks and on my neck, it's still kind of scruff, and I'm kind of at that phase now where the itching from it is starting to kind of go away. But
okay.
I occasionally get that, like, hey, guess what? You're itchy again. Stop itching. Stop it.
But it's going to grow back to your full fluffy.
Yes,
awesomeness.
It's going to eventually it will go back to where I will be the human version of Yukon Cornelius.
Yes! Yes!
Someone gets that reference.
Oh my gosh, great. I love the cremation. Not cremation. Claymation.
Claymation. So,
cremation?
It's like, Yukon Cornelius was cremated. You mean claymated? No, he was cremated. It was weird. They found him frozen after Rudolph went on to save the day. He's just froze.
Well, there's that conspiracy that Walt Disney's frozen underneath Disneyland. So, I mean,
anything is possible at this point. Yeah, anything is possible. So it's funny that I'm glad you understood that reference. So what was it? About 4 years ago around this time that I just did not care about how long my beard and mustache got. And a buddy of mine from work actually said, dude, you're starting to look like Yukon Cornelius. And there's an actual on my Instagram. There's actually a side layer. I took two pictures of myself and screenshot Yukon Cornelius. And I'm like, it's damn near identical at this point. Like, because even my beard was getting that nice Irish gingeriness that my bloodline has. I'm like, oh, great. Now I definitely look like Yukon Cornelius.
I don't think that's a bad thing. Gotta be honest. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a great thing.
You're not wrong, but at the same time, it's like, oh, great. Everyone's first reaction, especially when I wear winter clothing and a stocking cap, is, hey, it's Yukon Cornelius in the flesh. Oh, well, thank you. Appreciate that one. Thanks.
Oh, well, like, I don't get it, but, like, I get it because, like, I understand, you know, but I understand why you would feel that way. But at the same time, like, I still don't feel like it's a bad thing. Like, I think it's, you know.
It's perfect for 1 month of the year, but the other 11, it's like, dude, you gotta shave that thing off. Like, no, I'm nesting baby birds in this thing, okay?
I would say two. I start decorating in November.
You know, people have actually asked me, I've wanted to try to do this, but I can never actually, like I think I'd have to find, like, rubber bands to put it in, but I've never decorated my beard for Christmas.
If you get it long enough, you could put ornaments in it.
That's what I've thought about doing. I'm like, it's like one time a year we have a Christmas special. We've now gone to the whole where we can stream it now. It's like, you know what? Instead of using the old light bulbs, well, they'll burn your skin if they're on too long. Maybe I'll just hang ornaments from my beard and that'll be great. But I haven't been able to take the time to try to put tiny little ornaments in my beard. So maybe I'll change it up. Maybe if it grows back, you know, nice and girthy enough, like you and everyone are familiar with, then I can try to do it this year. Be pretty cool.
I think it's a great idea. I like it a lot.
I'm going to do it.
You should do it. And then, oh, you know what? And then at the tip, that will be like the topper.
Yeah, so like just have a giant star at the very bottom of the beard or something like that.
At the very bottom, because the beard comes to a point, right? Or like at least like that's where it ends. You can't put it on your chin, right? So you would have to like put it on the tip and like you tie a star to it and like it'll light up. It's one of those with the switch that you just turn on.
I hope you understand that I'm trying my darndest not to make a facetious and very dirty joke on your podcast right now. Like, I'm trying my damnedest not to, because I want to preserve your brand, and I also, well, I don't really have a brand for the most part, but I want to preserve yours right now.
What does that have to do with?
Just the tip.
You can totally say that for one and two. Very
Boom,
good.
Done.
Very nice. I'm in this thing right now where I'm using a lot of, like, oldie, like, catchphrases. Like, what did I say to somebody? I told my coworker I was running a show, and he was like, yeah, can you do this for me? I was like yeah I got it. And then I go oh my gosh, what did I say? I have to look back. Oh my gosh, I've been using these oldie phrases though, and I find it so funny because I'm just living my best 90s life, like in my 90s. Bingo bango. I said bingo bango.
Bingo bango.
I texted this person bingo bango, and I looked back at it and I was like, I'm proud of that.
But yet the recipient's like, what in the hell did I just get? Bingo bango. What the
no,
hell?
No, but I think that he was like, oh, like, no, I, well, like, just based on who it is, I know he was like, oh, like, that's adorable. But, like, anybody else would be like, this girl's psycho.
Well, I mean, I'm guilty of dropping, you know, like, older phrases as well, too. But, you know, I think I've only used bingo bango a small handful of times. And I think the only reason why is, and this kind of goes, again, seems like almost any conversation that I'll have with you might have to do with sports as well, too. The color commentator for the Red Wings TV is Mickey Redmond. And that's one of his, that's like one of his sayings that he uses it during his broadcasts. It's either just bingo or bingo bango kind of thing. It's, you know, just, you know, tic-tac-toe goal kind of thing. Bingo bango.
It rolls off the tongue. Bingo bango. It kind of does. Or like, holy cow, holy moly. Okay. Those roll off the tongue.
I use holy moly almost on a regular basis. If I don't drop a holy moly, like, especially if there's kids around, then there's something wrong.
Holy moly. Oh my God. Like, I feel like that's also like a little kid thing too. That, like, yeah, the parents who have old souls teach their kids. Definitely, like, what happened in my household.
Don't you say the naughty words that mommy and daddy say. You can say holy moly. We'll let that one slide. You can say holy cow.
Like, oh my
gosh.
But
after that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you can drop that one. But after that, you don't want to know.
Even if it sounded like, oh my God. They were like, yeah. Oh, no, 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 no. You do not use that. And I'm like, what if I spell it G-A-W-D?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Seriously, Kara. Oh my God.
Dab me with a spoon. Okay, now we're getting into Valley Girl, like, 90s stuff. I think we need to backpedal ourselves out of this.
Oh, if I had a dime for every time I did Valley Girl conversations with dudes, by the way.
Wait, have I probably you really?
Have, I think I've done it on a couple occasions. Most of them, again, probably in high school, but I have done it before. Yes.
Legitimately or mockingly?
More mockingly, but, you know, the conversation was legit. It just ended up sounding Valley Girlish.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, you're so mockingly. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
I've only done it mockingly. Now I do it mockingly. When I was in middle school and early high school, I did it just unconsciously, which is really sad. But my aunt used to be a Valley Girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. She used to do the whole thing with gag me in a spoon and the poofy hair and the, you know, the clothes, the stereotypical clothes. Like, she was 100%. And she was from the Bay Area in California. So,
okay.
Like, 110% fit every single category of a Valley Girl. Like, hit every single check mark.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Miss. Oh my God. Gag me with a spoon. I do that way too well.
Kira, oh my God. Okay. Listen, it's getting a little out of hand right now. Okay. Gag me with a spoon. Like, for real?
Like,
for real?
We need to back ourselves out of this, okay? Like, before it gets to be too much, we need to back. Now I'm starting to feel like we sound like we're drunk more than anything else.
Listen, I've only had two beers, okay? I'm perfectly fine to drive, officer, okay? And besides, Kira's driving this thing that's called her podcast. I'm perfectly fine. I'm just sitting next to her.
That's called.
There's no open container.
Okay. I definitely think we sound. Oh my God, I have to tell you this story. I haven't told anybody the story on here yet. So I was on my way to a chili cook-off that one of our friends was having. Uh-oh. And I was I had put an unopened bottle of Sky Vodka in a bag and double bagged it and put it in my passenger seat, right?
Okay.
And I was like, this, like, I have to transfer it. Like, I have to transport it. It's unopened, you know, I have to transport it. So I put it in my passenger seat. Well, first of all, it was one of those bigger ones. So my first thing was that my car thought it was a passenger.
buckle up, okay? It's precious cargo at this point, well, so yeah, you have to.
Right, but I didn't realize that until I was already driving and halfway there, and I'm driving and it goes ding, 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 and I'm like, who the hell is in my passenger seat? And I look over, and it's spilling.
Oh,
this,
no!
This vodka is spilling. Somehow the cap got loose, and it's spilling outside the bottom of the cap all over my seat.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. No.
So I'm looking, and I'm like, not only is it spilling, but it's like a kid. It's not buckled up, and it's peeing all over my seat. I have to clean it up, and I have to buckle it in. You've got to be kidding. I was
Little Sky Vodka is going all over the seat. Why is he not buckled up? Why is his pants off right now?
Little Sky, oh my God, gag me with a spoon. Can you not pee in my seat?
Being Sky Vodka, it might actually gag me with said spoon, possibly. I'm just...
Really? You don't do vodka?
I mean, I do vodka, but, I mean, I've had Sky, and I don't know. It's been a while. Then again, I was a poor college kid at one point, and 5 o'clock was always at the ready, and for those that are listening, 5 o'clock... Yeah, it's cheapo stuff. Let's just say that I'm pretty sure it could be used as rubbing alcohol as well, too. But yeah. Just say no to 5 o'clock.
Or moonshine, or actual rubbing alcohol. It's all the same.
Well, so moonshine. Well, Yeah.
Depending on the maker.
I mean, I've had the retail stuff, okay? I've had the retail stuff, but I've also had the backwoods stuff. And the backwoods stuff, when they say will make you go blind, yeah, you pretty much could go blind, because if you have too much of it, you really will, your vision will, like, start. No. Oh, it's like your vision's, like, when you get intoxicated, you know, you get that weird, everything is super smooth and sharp and starts to get blurry and everything. It's basically what the backwoods stuff is like. It's like you have like a couple of drinks of that, and at that point you're just like, everything is all fuzzy yet smooth at the same time, and I can't focus on anything. And oh, my eyes are closed.
Oh, I think you just described being drunk.
Yeah, but essentially, like, it compared to like fun. Other stuff. Yeah, it's like, oh, this stuff I could probably have a couple, but pretty sure it's gonna burn from the moment it enters your mouth all the way down to your bladder, essentially. That's,
oh God.
Yeah. Backwoods no, stuff. That's some harsh stuff. That's some put your hair on your chest, even if you don't want hair on your chest. Too bad.
I can't do all that. I have to at least mix stuff with stuff. Like, I have to have a cocktail. Or right now I'm not really doing any drinking.
I've seen the pictures. I know.
I'm not doing it.
I've seen the videos as well, too. I know.
I can't. I stopped drinking. I stopped drinking July, and then I drank one beer. So I drank two beers since then, and neither one of those times ended well for me.
Oh, boy.
And it wasn't because I was tipsy or drunk or anything. It was simply because what I ate or drank with that said beer did not end well for me. Like, I had a beer with Caesar salad most recently, and I was puking in bushes.
I'm sorry, what?
Sean Tempesta's car. Yeah, so Sean Tempesta, Sam Nunley, not Pearson, we were meeting Anthony from Carl the Marine Anthony.
Oh.
And he's awesome. Him and his brother are fantastic people, and I adore them. They're riots, but we met and we had dinner, and, you know, we all had our bougie stuff because we went to this bougie restaurant, and I had a Caesar salad and a beer. I also had water, but that didn't matter. So I'm fine, and Sean goes to take us all back to our designated spots, and we get to drop off Anthony and his brother, and we're going to drop off me, but we get a block away. And I'm like, Sean, you're going to have to pull over. I wasn't even nauseous. I wasn't dizzy. I wasn't disoriented. It was one of those things that I just felt it in my stomach that it was about to push out of my mouth, and I needed to stop.
That may be the most graphic way I've ever heard someone say that they threw up, that they was pushing out their mouth.
Well, it's like one of those things. You could feel the gurgle. It's like, yeah, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. You could feel it, almost hear it, and you know it's about to, you know. So it's an accurate description.
Yeah.
And then I don't throw up in that bush when we pull over. Instead,
of course not.
No, of course not. Instead of throwing up in front of, you know, just my two friends and, you know, a lovely stranger, I throw up in a plastic bag in my own car that Sam is driving me in home, and Sean is following us behind because they don't want me to drive my car home.
Oh my gosh.
This bag was full. And then I wanted to hide it. I didn't want Sean to see because I didn't want him to make fun of me. So I literally tuck and rolled out of my car to throw it in the dumpster. And Sam keeps driving the car, and I just jump in the seat and I'm like, drive, go, go.
Go, 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 go. Go. It's a covert mission. Go, go, go. Roll out. Roll, go, go.
And I successfully hid it from him until the show the next day or the next Monday. And I was like, you don't know this, but I hid it from you. I tuck and rolled out of my car while Sam was driving at 5 miles per hour so that I could throw it away in the dumpster.
Oh, my God. Kira, Kira, Kira. Oh my.
It was terrible. But and then I got my booster a couple days after that. So I'm doing great.
I bet. That's a perfect combo right there.
Oh, I'm doing great. I still kind of feel like but I'm just now getting over the ickiness from the booster shot because it kicked my butt. Which is weird because I didn't get any reactions from the first two. No side effects, no headache, nothing. And then this one knocked me on my ass, which is not to say that anybody shouldn't get it, because I definitely think you should get it, and it's definitely better than the alternative of getting COVID. But it did knock me on my ass.
Oh, yeah. I trust me. The only thing that I felt when I got, you know, the initial two was just like someone just slugged me in my arm. I'm like, okay, well, I'm used to this, you know, whether it's, you know, the flu shot or I pissed my boss off enough where she decides to cock back and hit me in the arm. Oh, I'm used to that by now.
Oh man.
Listen, it's a love relationship. She loves me and also loves to punch me in the arm if I get out of line. It's okay. It's an abusive relationship, but we work through it. It's okay. You don't have to call the cops. Wink, sure. Wink, nudge, nudge.
Is this a call for help? Should I call 311 I always, you know what's funny is that no matter who it is, I always get Minnesota and Wisconsin mixed up.
So, yeah, I mean, Minnesota, Wisconsin, I can see getting mixed up sometimes, especially, you know, if not familiar with the
it's weird because I was always in Wisconsin when I was little, because my family's from Chicago, so we'd always go to Wisconsin for the, you know, parks and stuff that they have.
Right.
But I don't remember anything. I just have seen pictures. I'm like, oh, I've been there. Okay, cool. Don't remember anything. But I don't know any. I always mix up those. I mix up where Nebraska and Colorado are on a map. I mix up Vermont and Delaware as states.
Those two you get mixed up. I get Vermont North and New Hampshire flipped around sometimes. Well, that's the
I know people from New Hampshire, so it's easier for me to place.
Okay.
But Delaware and Vermont, I have never been to and barely ever hear of. So
here's what I'll say about Delaware. You blink and you're in and out. It's almost that small of a state to drive through.
Really?
Yeah, it's quick. I mean, back in the day, before I got into radio, one of my first jobs was a test driver for Ford Motor Company. And we ended up going on a work trip out on the East Coast. Started out in, you know, the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, I believe. I can never remember what the third state is in the tri-state, but
I think Connecticut.
Probably. And then went up to the greater Boston area, and Boston. Then eventually Boston. Trust me, I get that Northeastern accent quite well, because one of my coworkers is a native of Ayers, Massachusetts. So whenever he says Ann Arbor, it's Ann Arbor.
I want to live on the East Coast.
It's beautiful. I will say that.
I wish I was rich.
Trust me, don't we all, though?
We really all do, but, like, I just want to, like, everybody wants to go to fancy places, or,
yep,
you know, they want to go to out of country. I just want to move to the East Coast to be able to live. Like, I would love to live in Boston. I would love it. Love it.
And just in that little time that I was, you know, on that work trip, I'm like, yeah, I could see myself probably living up here. And then you see all those nor'easters that go roll through. I'm like, yeah, nah, I'm good. I'll deal with my, you know, maybe at most in a day, you know, 8 inches of snow. Not this, you know, 12 to 16 inches that they'll get sometimes. Like, I'm good. I'm straight. I appreciate that. But not for me.
You know what? The winters would be harsh. The winters would be harsh. And you know what's funny is that there was a friend of ours, actually, of all of ours. He's been on Free For All before. He told me, I don't want to hear you talk about, you know, harsh weather, talk about bad weather. You need to live on the East Coast for a little bit and then tell me about bad weather and about how uncomfortable you are. And I'm like, okay, like, I get it. Because I get it that I don't get it. You know what I mean? Like, I know that I don't know what it's like to live in the snow as an adult. Okay. I know. All right. I don't know what it's like to have blizzards and, to have like 20 feet of snow and be, you know, I can't go to work because I have to create a tunnel in snow and then it's melted by the next, like, I don't know what that life is. Okay.
Yeah. But we're not used to that.
Right. But I do know what it's like to have 120 degree weather in the middle of July and it's dry as a sauna and I can't breathe. And all of a sudden I have a nosebleed. I have a sore throat, if not worse. And I can't talk for 2 weeks. Like, that's extreme. And almost having a heat stroke also. Like, that's always a thing.
Yeah. I mean, when I came out there back in May, I kind of looked at it like, May, you know, that's not okay. You know what? Should be that bad. It's not going to be that bad. I think the minute that we stepped out of the airport to try to take an Uber to our hotel, I immediately just went, oh, it's bad. Oh, my fat ass ain't going to handle this at all. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Sweating kind of helps slim up. Maybe I'll be that slim, good-looking son of a gun that everyone was hoping to see. Nope. No, so dry. So dry.
It's very dry.
I felt like SpongeBob in Sandy's, like, little her little globe underwater. Just like, I don't need it. I don't need it. I need water.
It's so bad. You know what's funny is that it's like, everybody's like, oh, I can't do the humidity. The humidity is too much. And like, if you have 100% humidity with 95 degree weather, oh yeah, like Tennessee, whoo, I totally get it.
Florida, sorry, Florida, not for me.
Oh man, like my hat goes off to you for living there in the summer. Like, I'm so sorry, but. I feel like a lot of those people haven't lived in the dryness and just don't get it. You know, they just don't understand. And I get it. I'm the same way with cold weather, with cold, humid weather. I haven't lived in it, so I don't know. But I got to say, something's got to be better than this.
I mean, I trust me. It's the one thing that I've always known is that sometimes it's easier to take off layers than it is to put on layers. So, like, you know, when I think it's going to be like, you know, 20 degrees with a wind chill that drops it down into like the single digits. I'm like, okay, I'd rather bundle up, wear my Carhartt, make it look like the kid from the Christmas Story, where I can't put my arms down. But then when I walk outside and it's, you know, 20 degrees warmer than I thought it was, like, okay, I can shed a layer. It's perfectly fine. But at the same time, it's like, I think I'll take a 50 degree day over a 90 degree day, and it's dry as hell. Because I think I almost had that same scenario happen to me, Kira, that weekend that I was in town, where my nose was so dry, like I almost got a nosebleed from it. Like, and I rarely get nosebleeds, so that in itself was weird.
We have a town full of nose pickers, let me tell you. Like, if anybody says, if anybody lives here and says that they don't pick their nose, they are liars.
Yep. You tell me that you don't pick your nose, and I'll call you a liar straight up to your face and have no regrets about saying it as well.
You know what, though? I feel like that's all adults, not even just in Vegas, but especially in Vegas or in Arizona, too.
Yep.
If it's dry and you feel something, you're going to pick it. Like, you have to.
Just remember the golden rule about it, Kira. You could pick your friends, you could pick your nose, but don't pick your friend's nose.
Ew. Nobody touch my nose. Don't even like tease that you're gonna pick my nose.
Kira, I'm gonna boop your snoot.
Don't boop my snoot.
I'm gonna boop it.
Somebody stole it and never gave it back as a kid.
Those are the worst. Okay, I'm still waiting for my uncle to do it. Like, when am I gonna get my nose back? You took it away from me back in '94, and I don't know how the hell I can still smell smells. But damn it,
come on. That's why I can't breathe. Oh.
I can't breathe. I'm a mouth breather now. Help me.
Help me. Oh, my gosh. All right, Miz. You know what? Time flies. And I got to tell you that I am so sad. And I need you on again eventually. Like, you gotta come back.
Well, if you put it that way, I think I can carve out enough time to join you once again. And I can't thank you again. Yeah. You know, I've listened to as many of your shows that you put out there on your podcast, which, again, everyone that's listening needs to go follow, listen, subscribe, whatever you guys do. Hit that bell button, whatever it is. I don't know. Hit that bell button so you know when the notifications come through. But I listen, you know, because one thing I've told you is that I will support all my friends in whatever journey, whatever thing they've got going on, I will support them, no doubt about it. And that's the same way with you. I love the fact that you're doing this, and I'm more than honored to be on your show. So thank you so much for extending the invitation.
Well, thank you for saying yes, honestly. And I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you taking part. I appreciate your friendship. Like, you're awesome. It's still mind-blowing to me that I know so many talented and real and genuine people, and I am honored to know all of you, and I am honored that includes you as well.
Talented?
Talented, yeah.
Talented?
T-A-L-E-N-T-E-D. Oh my gosh, okay. I spelled that right really fast. I'm really proud of myself. If you want to be found, where can people find you on social?
So you can follow me on Twitter. It's where I do most of my stuff. Instagram, the old Snap, which I rarely use, TikTok, anything that you could think of social media wise, with the exception of Facebook, because I try not to mess with that. Follow me at The Miz on Air.